Now, there's basically two types. The one that's most popular now in our times is gases made from the head of a bull. There used to be ones that are made out of sheepskin. This is how sheepskin looks, this is how flexible it is when it's dry. Primarily, all the bathroom nowadays is made from the head of a bull. Okay? As you can see over here, the eyes, the nose, the ears are over here. They get most of it, they get from the middle of the United States, somewhere where they kill about 30,000 animals a day for McDonald's and Burger King and all these other things like that. They don't do anything with the heads. So the heads are taken and are frozen and shipped off to Eretz Yisrael. There they have a few places that do the what they call in Yiddish the nasa'ar, the wet work. And they have these huge vats, and they, you know, take these really solid frozen ears that stand in the Israeli sun for 3 days in the summer, and it's still frozen when they take them out of the box. And they put them into these vats, and they have different chemicals that they introduce into it to be able to preserve the skin. It's called tanning, but basically what it does is it kills the meat of the skin, so it won't rot. Like a regular piece of skin will rot, a piece of meat will rot. So they do something to cure it that it won't rot.
Does it have to come from a kosher animal that was not from Shkita?
It has to be a kosher animal, but it could be a filum in a veilus trade. Even if it was an animal was killed, or even if the animal done by itself, but it has to be a kosher animal. There was an incident that happened many years ago they were getting skins from one of the South American countries. Which they had a set up a shkita over there. They were using something called they thought it was a cow, but it turned out to be a drambuli. And the iris went there, it's Yisrael, and they couldn't make batim from it. It did stretch. And the batim machas were scratching their head, what happened now? They couldn't figure it out until they did some research and found out that the skins coming from this animal, which wasn't the cow, was, you can't make batim from it. That's how the whole thing, that whole scandal came out. Anyway, so they get these iris, and after it's been in these vats for about 3 days, at that point you just scrape off all the hair, and then they cut it up into two different sizes. One size looks like this, more of a rectangle, and one size looks like this, more of a tea or kamatz. Okay, from this, they push out, when it's really wet and soft, they push out one bubble. This will eventually become the shelyad. From this one, they push out four bubbles. And as you can see over here, you can see where I went wrong over here. There's a very sick sound when you hear that slurp as you're using a screw press, it's turning around, and the metal's going into the earth, pushing it down this way, or in this case, one of them. And then you have to make sure you space them out evenly, and then you just push one drop too much, and it's gone.
You do those individually?
These are done individually. I don't do the wet work anymore because there's some objection from my family to the smell. I don't understand it.
Why don't you use the head? Use the other
it could, but the head is usually the thickest. The thickest, and it's also the cheapest because it's not big enough to do anything from it. So from the skin, from something like this, they'll take it and they'll feel the thickness. If it's thick enough, they'll make it into a shaliyad, and if it's thinner, they'll make it into a shalresh. So from head, you can sometimes make one set of tefillin, sometimes you can make two shalreshes and one shalyad, sometimes two shalyads and one shalresh. It all depends. I've seen them pull out from it three, four, sometimes I've seen them pull out one or two.
The higher you can make it from the softer skin too, not darker from the skin.
Well, we want thicker. We want thicker. We'll see as we go along.
When was the first time they used the gasas?
About 80 years ago. They had in Europe, it's a place called Tizimis, they made batim for what they called Arshar. But if you see those batim, they were big and it didn't come out quite well.
I'm sorry, when did batim
made from? I don't know, man. It wasn't big.
They used to come from Australia? They used to bring the skins?
I don't know. So let's go back to this. After we have these four bubbles, right away when it's still at that very soft stage, you put it back into the press, and turn it into four popsicles. Now, here I made my mistake over here. That's why this ended up here today instead of somebody using it. And then,
which is thicker? Why is it a difference in thickness?
I'll answer. Okay, you're right. So now we let it dry for a while because it's still very soft. But as soon as we dry at a certain point, we start putting it back into the press again, and we're giving it a catch every couple of days. Let's get one more. So after about a week or so, it looks like this. And then a week later, it looks like this. I have my four popsicles lined up next to each other. Okay, this is not really what tefillin looks like. Our tefillin don't look like popsicles. So then when it's practically dry, they take it and put it into a cup of water overnight, so only this part gets wet. And the rest of it stays solid. And in the morning, when it's solid down here and soft up here, they go ahead and put it to a press and give it a fetch this way. Now, I left out one ingredient. Every time they put it into the press, they always have to put in a piece of metal inside it, because if you put it into the press and you don't have a piece of metal inside, you'll just squish it to oblivion, to nothing. So when this point, when they're going to press it, they put the metals that go only halfway, and then they come down with the press, and then you end up with what looks like this. Okay? Here you can see your four kestlof, your four boxes. And this one, I put a metal that was a drap too tall, so I tore a hole in top of the tefillin. it was a drap too much pressure for what was there. Sometimes in the middle, when you're pressing the batim, you may not end up, when you're coming down this way, the idea is to make sure that you have four corners on each one of these four boxes. So you don't have four corners. Let's say on this box, so you'll take out the metal, and you'll replace it with one that's a little bit taller. And then when you put it back into the press and give it fetch again, so then it'll fill in the corners that are missing. So here, I must have miscalculated, or whatever it is. I have made other mistakes.
Will you do this by hand, or you use a hydraulic?
There's screw press, and there's hydraulic press. Both of them are the same in halacha. There are some people that feel hydraulic press is a step down. In physics, when I'm turning the screw like this and it's coming down, it's the same pressure. When I'm pumping like this and I'm pumping oil through the whole thing and it's putting pressure down, it's the same thing. But sometimes you can't explain things to when people comes to certain chumras, you just go with it. Rabbi Eliashiv had no problem with the hydraulic press.
Every time you press the button, you say the
shame. Is just filling. Yeah. Whenever you do anything that's ma'akiv, necessary in halacha, you have to do the shame, is just filling. Okay, so that's the shalyad. Shalyad is very simple. The shalyad, after you push out your initial box, so then you go ahead and when it's dry, you stick it into water, so this part becomes soft. You go ahead and you press it this way, and then you end up with your four corners. Now, Why do we use a thicker skin? Because the shalyad, I have one compartment. So here you can see we machined this down, so you can see how thick the walls are. The shalrosh, remember, I have to have place to put in the parshas. I have four boxes, and that means there are eight walls in between here. If I'm going to use a very thick skin, I won't have any place to put the parshas, or I'm going to make not 40s, but I'm going to make 50s or 60s. You know, till that you've never seen, be able to get in the parshas. I'm going to use a stick. Yeah. They've come up with a technique nowadays that when they could take a thicker skin now for the shalrosh, and they have a machine, you know, that they would stick these things, these pieces of art through the machine, and it would make cut it uniform. So they now have a machine that they could do it, they could stick it, that it's going to cut certain parts of it thinner. So they have the technology is moving along in these things, that what they can do. Okay, to give you some more idea, let's see if we can find it. I took a shell of rice over here, and I cut it in half. So this gets to show you what the inside looked like, but you can see that the roof of it is much thicker. Why is the roof thicker? Because remember, it was up here, it was much taller. Then I came down, and when I came down, the R here compacts. But if you notice, we'll pass this all around soon. You notice there's a split in here because the split is from the R. As the R is compacting, it's getting thicker on the walls around it. But the top, still the top, very top, is about as thick as the walls on both sides. To give you another idea about the strength of the tefillin. This incident took place about 5-6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago already. There were two people riding down Coney Island Avenue in two different cars, and they were talking to each other on their cell phones. One was in construction, so one guy had his minivan loaded up with wood, and he had the back of his minivan open. The other guy was riding back to make sure nothing happens. Also, he tells him, you know, something just fell out of the back of your car. So they pull over to the side. They're now double parked in front of Yeshivas Chaim Berlin. They both jump out of the car, and lo and behold, in the corner intersection of Avenue M and Coney Island is this tefillin, lying in the middle of the street. So they're watching, and all of a sudden a tractor trailer, this 18-wheeler comes rumbling along and rides right over his tefillin. So the guy who belonged to the tefillin just like held onto his car, didn't do anything. The other guy had a little bit more guts. When he saw that things were clear, he ran to the street and picked up what was left. The bag was torn. The ritzuas were torn off. But this is what's left of the tefillin. Okay? Here's the cover. It took a very strong beating, but it held up that tractor trailer. Okay? The ritzuas got torn off. You know, the passion side was good. The shoresh, it has its thinner walls, but it's four compartments. So the cover got bent down to shape a little bit. The bias also more or less stood up to the whole thing. Okay, I don't suggest trying it, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work at high speeds either. You know,
you can make it wet and reshape it.
Yeah, you could. We most probably could. It just doesn't pay on the shalyad. Shalyad is one quarter of the work, so it doesn't pay to do it.
But you have to have the shalyad prepared.
No, I could take from different sets. Parshas, you can take shalyad and shoresh. You can't mix parshas from one set to another set on shoresh. Okay. Okay. So now I'd mentioned before that every time we put into the press, we always have to put in metals. So you have to press it a few times because as it dries, it starts bending out of shape. But every time you want to put back the metals in, they didn't fit because as it was drawing, it kept shrinking. So we were losing very valuable space. We decided we were going to try something different. We're going to keep the metals inside. And it'll take much longer to dry, but we will gain a larger space for the parashas. We did that, and it worked very, very well, but we couldn't get the metals out. Because it dried so tight around it, it was completely stuck. So we do it nowadays.
You have to put spam in before.
Oh, so that's what we do nowadays. We leave it inside, but we coat it with Teflon. Some of them use just plain oil. Other batamachas have longer metals that stick out and have a hole through it, and they put it into the press, and then they just pull it right out. So you know.
You can actually put heaters onto the metal so that it heats from inside also.
Well, I don't want the metal. I could shrink the metal, but...
No, but the metal transmits the heat up of the ore, then it dries...
But the metal will expand faster.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. They want it to dry naturally. They don't want it to dry with anything. There are some people that put it into special rooms that have low humidity and help it dry faster. It's not so... The good batamachas let things dry out by themselves. Some let it dry for a whole year. And this time of year, where it's very, very cold outside... So the humidity level inside the houses go down. So I have tefillin beneath 2 weeks, they'll dry out perfectly. In the summertime, I have to wait 2-3 months till it dries. Okay. Now, at that point, when you have it like this, so they go ahead and they take a wet shmata, wrap it around it, and then it's soft enough so the next day they can bend it over. Now, you can't just stand bend it over because then you just have a round back. So after they bend it over, they put it into the press and give a kvetch this way, and that's how you have the back of your tefillin what you're used to. This one has its metals inside it, and this one would come out. This would have been a kosher pair of film, but was given to me by somebody as a sample. Now, here I don't know if you could see. There's a rod going through it. There's a piece of metal that goes through it. There should have been three, but two of them already fell out.
Pass around.
Yeah, we'll pass everything around. So there's something called chud hatfira. That they sew between the batim. You say v'chod tefillin bayis l'bayis. And that's done by putting this piece of metal in. They can't take a drill bit and drill through it and think you're going to come out exactly on the other side, exactly opposite. You're either going to come up, down, or through somebody's some of the walls. So the way they do it then is they leave this piece of metal in, press it, and before we start making it square, they pull these pieces of metal out. That's that trick. Should we pass it around or should I go to the shins? Should we pass it around?
We do the shins,
okay. Because the shins, we're going to pass things around anyway, because shins is one of the most complicated parts of making tefillin, and I brought along, I think that everybody can get a chance to make a shin.
Let me ask again a question. You can have very thin skin that's very pliable, and your problem would be then to put something to make it hard.
Right, like the sheepskin.
Right, so you make it thin, and then you put either a chemical or... You dry it so it becomes hard after you do all the work, which is easier to work with.
But let's say make something out of sheepskin, something like this. So then
You know, it won't last as long as
you thicker. Right. And also, many years ago, somebody told me about using silicone. As they use it to waterproof boots, waterproof leather. So, you know, people have a problem that they sweat or whatever and they ruin the tefillin. So why do you apply silicone on the bottom of the tefillin? No, it's not, because it's completely absorbed inside. I did it for one person. I did it twice. And then I got very nervous. I said, I'm going to wait till they come out, you know, years from now and say silicone is safe. Meantime, I'm not putting it on somebody's tefillin, letting him wear it, and then finding out that I was wearing something that unhealthy.
You get a bald spot.
I don't want to find out the results. Okay. Now, how do they make the shin on the tefillin? Shin is halacha l'maishim sinai. So what they do is they have a piece of cotton that's in the shape of a triangle that's wet, two of them. They put one on each side and leave it overnight. The tefillin remains not wet and with the metals inside it. And in the morning, they put it back into the press. And they have something like this. Two pieces of metal with the shin engraved on both sides. One has three heads and one has four heads. They put it on the tefillin, put it into the press and give a quetch, and out pops the shin. Beautiful, well done, 3-4 minutes, but this is 100% possible. What's the reason? Because this wasn't written, it was carved. The halacha is, if a seif is supposed to write a yud, and by accident he made that yud too long, he made it into a vav. So what do you tell him? Just wait till it's dry and then scrape it away. That's no good. You have to write the letters. He has to erase the whole vav he wrote and rewrite it as a yud. So when they put into the press and give a kvetch this way, and out pops that shin, so you just carved out that shin. So to get around this problem, they go ahead and outline it. You can see the shin is outlined in green and red. They go ahead and outline it so you know exactly where the shin's supposed to be. They then go ahead and put it back into the press using the flat side of the metal, push it back in again, and now I have the outline where the shin's supposed to be. Then they go ahead and pull out the shin. Now, what I was taught about them 35 years ago, so my Rebbe told me, you take your pliers, you push it into the skin like that, and then grab it like that. Rabbi Yasha said, as soon as you push down a little bit, you're already doing a chakika. You're already carving it. So it doesn't help to push down. Even though I would then go ahead and squeeze it like this, I didn't do anything by that because I already did a carving. So Rabbi Yashiv, together with a bunch of Bat Damacha, sat down and they came up with a plan that you push along the surface of the skin. You're pushing this way, all around, not down, but along the surface till it protrudes. Like when we shovel snow, we go along the surface and we gather the snow. So you're pushing along the surface till you push out the shin. You have to start from the head, then do the feet, and then do the base. Because on this side, as you're pushing here, it's very likely that you're going to make a connection and the gear between the heads. If you make a connection between the heads, it's no good. You have to erase it. And you can't erase it because that makes the shin. So you have to start over. So therefore, if you make the four heads first, and you make a connection, there's nothing wrong with it because you know, all you have is boxes. Then you make the feet, and then you make the base, and now you have your shin.
What did they do before this?
One second. Let me just finish this. So then when they're finished, it doesn't come out looking so nice, so they put it back into the press, and they give it one more kvetch, and that's how the shins look so nice. But the actual work of pushing it out doesn't come out so nice. Now, what do they have before Rabbi Yasha came along? We had dakis. Dakis, the way it's described in halacha, you push from the inside. Pushing from the inside is not a problem. We started getting coming up with gases. We didn't know what to do. And so they were using this way, they were trying this way, and nothing. Then Rabbi Yasha sat down with a group of Bat Damachas and went through all the halachas and every aspect of everything like that.
Could you push it in from outside?
It's too thick. It doesn't work. They try.
You had the press. If you had the metal instead of it gray,
it doesn't work. It's too thick. You cannot do it. It's too thick. We tried it. Okay, so just to give you a little bit hands-on the whole thing, I have over here, I don't know when's the last time if you played with Silly Putty, but I have over here a Lucite frame, and here's a piece of Silly Putty inside it. Now, you'll take out the Silly Putty, you'll fold it over, okay, and then you get a piece of Lucite that has a shin on it. You get a chance to push it down. Silly Putty works a little bit better when it's warmer. Okay, and out pops your very nice shin, which is possible. But then I have over here pens. And you're going to outline it. I'm not going to outline the whole thing for you. Okay, you outline it. And forget about the crowns. Okay? And then you put it back into your copier press, and you'll make it flat. So you'll see how... Now you see where your shin is. Then I have something over here for you to practice. We'll see who passes being about the matter. The idea is not to push down, because that's a chakika. The idea is to push from the side till it protrudes. Make the heads first. It's a little bit difficult. But you get a chance to
it
try
doesn't have to be perfect, because when you put on the metal, it will straighten it out.
What? Say that again?
It doesn't have to be perfect, because when you put the press afterwards...
Yeah. That's another point. When you put it back on again, you have to align it exactly. If you don't align it exactly on it, when you put it back on again, you will erase whatever you wrote and you'll make a substitution.
Right.
Which I've seen being done already. So you have to know what you're doing when you do it.
What percentage are successful? How many of them you have to throw away? Which is something you roll.
That's how good it is.
It doesn't come
out. Just push at the corner.
At an angle.
You can't get it out. Right here.
You can get it out of
it. You're going to need it anyway to make the shin. Fold it over. And you know, battle.
Press it back in.
Yeah.
Press it back in.
If you're not giving yourself much meat, you make it. That's the problem. Otherwise, you're not
going to
have
much meat.
Just like that. Even if it doesn't pull the whole thing.
We're supposed to use our own pen?
I'll give you a pen.
Yeah.
Oh,
you want to make a new shin?
Yeah,
you want to take that out.
Oh, thank you.
This bounce.
Trace it on the outside.
This is what I'm doing.
Who wants
Right, so.
What's the difference between that way
up? Oh, so you want to go from the side, one side like this, towards the beach.
No,
you're doing it at the right. But if I go down, I get a note. I'm going to go like this.
Is anyone filming this?
You're going along the surface, you're shaking, pushing it over like that. Not down, but you're pushing along the surface until it goes through.
So then,
Yourself as a second.
I have the assessment, it's really
good. Yes, it doesn't matter. You can't do a sucking. And that, I don't know why they're not working on that, but I'm sure they can try that. I have some people with the smartest minds.
When I was bar mitzvah, like 50 years ago, they make it the same way.
They had the painted ones also. That they
came on.
They have that, right? You put in a...
This would be hollow.
And this is a vacuum cleaner. It would be a very strong vacuum. You put that kind of the word.
There it is. That was
In the old days, they took a little hook, took a hook, and with a hook, they pulled out the hook. So they asked him to show you how to make it better. But they showed him the
So when you get it from Eretz Yisrael, you get it like this or like this?
No, I get it, but it's a little bit past this.
Okay.
With the shin on it already and close.
So what do you sand it and...
I sand it. I do the ribua. Right.
But this comes of any ribua.
Not quite. There is a new type of bathroom that's out there, and as you saw with these bathroom that are made the regular way, you have folds in them. As they push these four bubbles together, you ended up with the extra space over here, and you ended up becoming all these folds. They came up with a way that when they push these four bubbles together, They don't allow this to fold, but they work it out in such a way that it can go back together without any folds. This is a new thing.
How do they do that? What's the technique?
The ones that know won't say. Well, Lisa, because I'm an outsider, I'm from New York, and I'm not in competition with them, so each one has shown me.
Yeah.
It's you know, you have to understand it, you have to do it to really to get it, but what I've seen them doing as they're pushing this together, they don't allow it to fold. They keep it under pressure. A certain pressure down this way and push it together. Like, you remember your days when you used to chew gum and you pull the gum out of your mouth like that? Okay, so you stretched it, right? Now try to get it back together again. It's not. It's going to fold up. So they keep it under such a way that it goes back together. Now, they have a problem as it goes back together. You can't get it all together because it's going to bounce back. So they introduce heat. And when they introduce heat, they introduce a lot of heat, and that allows it to stay together. They can't introduce too much because if you take skin and you heat it up too much, it loses its characteristic, becomes brittle, and it could turn into hard glue. Hide glue was made, they took hides and they used to boil it for 2-3 days, and then in that boiling process it turned into glue. So they have to introduce enough heat that they can get what they want, but not too much that destroys the skin. And they also use a lot of pressure, and they get it back together. It's an incredible thing. It saves a lot of problems that you'll see in people's tefillin. You'll see very often, especially now in the wintertime, you'll see that there are 3 folds that open up in the front, 3 folds in the back, and sometimes you'll even see folds on the side. Because as the weather turns very cold and the humidity drops, so the folds open up, which
when
is normal.
Painted, you can notice where it's painted.
Right, that's where you close it up. That's a different factor. But that could be fixed, and it's not a problem. But with this tefillin, you don't have that anymore. You don't have any folds opening up. There is also another very strong advantage about it. As I mentioned before, when you come down this way, you end up with a thicker roof, and you end up with a fold over here. There also is 2 teeny folds on each one of the batim on either side. On these new batim, they don't have any fold whatsoever. Here is one that's like this. You can see there's no folds over here. And here's one that was cut this way, and you don't see any folds in the roof. This, they don't understand how it happens, why there's no folds to it. And I definitely don't understand it. But they're able to come in. It's a new thing. It's new on the market. It's been out about 5-7 years. And slowly, this batimach is learning how to do it. And that batimach is learning how to do it. Slowly, it's being spread around to different batimachs.
Is it new machinery, new technology, or is it a new technique?
It's a new technique in doing it. Something that they didn't have years ago.
What did they have?
This idea of doing it. There's a man named Aaron Weil who works in Iskar in Tel Aviv, and he lives in Telstone. And his mind runs at 1,000 miles an hour. He's an absolutely brilliant person. And he works in Iskar's division of research. Whenever there's a problem in the company anywhere, even out of Israel, they have a problem in some issue or another, they send it to this company. And there are a few people like Aaron Weil sitting there, and they come up with solutions. So Aaron Weil, 20 years ago, was already working on this thing. He has this desire to make tefillin. So his day off is Friday, and Friday he's a batimacher. The rest of the week he wears a blue shirt and drives from Telstone to Tel Aviv, and he works over there. And he's the one that originated in this thing, and he came out. I have all his prototypes, his original prototypes, and he makes the best batim around in this aspect of the thing. He's like an absolute genius. He was working on with one of the companies that makes what's it called, turbojets, and they had 200 people working to make each turbo engine. And he figured out how to do it with 2 people. Like that type of a person.
They must love him.
They were having, the Israeli army was having trouble with these missiles that were shooting at the tanks. And these missiles would come in and would blow up and then would burn through the tank and Nebuch, what happened then? So they came up with a counter thing that as they would sense a missile coming toward the tank, they would shoot out a missile, but it took 45 seconds to reload. The next 45 seconds after that incident, they were sitting ducks. And they couldn't come up with anything. They gave it over to Iskar, to his division. They got it down to 7 seconds. Yeah, that's the type of thing. So he changed the whole thing of making batim. He doesn't have a screw press. He doesn't have a hydraulic press. He made a new press.
What's his name?
Aaron Weil. And he has a press that you just push down like this, and it exerts between 80 and 150 tons of pressure. Wow. It's completely different, you know, like
a hand press?
A hand press, just a pushing down like this, and it exerts the pressure he needs. And so it's he can make batim in half the time that everybody else can make batim.
So he makes batim?
He works for Iskar, and this is his hobby, his thing. He gives up his Iskar is a big company in Israel that's owned by some American named Warren Buffet.
Buffett,
whatever you want to call it. Okay, so he owns that company.
What does Bethel use?
Bethel uses the old method. Okay.
Some guy.
Okay, so.
Where's someone that used different skins for this
time? Well, they use gases and dhaka. So now that you've seen that when you make batim, it dries very hard and solid. So how do they make batim out of dakas? So what they do, I don't bring along all the pieces that I need. What they do is they take a piece of cloth like this, and they wrap it around a square frame. Layers upon layers, and it's coated with glue, and at the end, they end up with a box. They put a cover on it, and they machine it till it's square. Then they take this skin, and in a half hour, it's soft enough to use. You put this piece of skin into water, it takes overnight for it to become soft. This is a half hour, it's soft enough to use, and they stretch it over it, and that's how they have the twill. And to make the shalresh, they put it into an egg slicer, and they slice it up into four different pieces. On one side, they glue one shin with three heads, and the other side, they glue a shin with four heads. Okay. Then they take their skin, and they stretch it over it till you have something like this. So it's reinforced on the inside, so you can't go ahead and crush it. And you can't push in the shin with your finger, because they have that piece inside holding it from being crushed in. So
is that shin a kosher shin?
Yeah, because it's pushed from the inside. So this is how a pair of dakas would look. This part is solid. This is very weak. This is, but then they reinforce it with this piece, and they stretch it over it, and now you have your dakas. It takes about a day to make it, and this takes a whole year.
Who buys the dakas today?
I don't know how much is done. I don't know how much. No, the small twill is made out of gasa.
They had the small?
Yeah, even the very small
somebody
one.
Somebody had to put it in five because the pashas are too big for the RF or the type.
If you're talking about very big ones?
The old
very big ones. There is somebody that's making it. I'm not sure if he's making it in the Ukraine or in Russia, but there's somebody that's making these things. I stay away from anything that's in that area, because if I can't see it myself, I don't touch it.
How much would a pair of dakas cost?
I don't know. Years ago, it was 130 versus 250.
But gases.
Yeah, but one accident with a daka, it's all over with. You drop and you bang the corner, it's finished. You drop your gases and you bang the corner, it's fixable. Now, because the skin is there, you just have to soften up that corner and reshape it back into shape. And you can fix it. If the person goes ahead and wears dakas and he sweats with it and he curls the bottom and the bottom shrinks, you can't fix it. Gases, most cases, you could fix it.
But you could put another whole skin and redo the top.
It reaches a point where it's not worthwhile, you know. It just isn't worthwhile.
Among us, no one has dakas anymore. You don't see
right,
anymore.
Right. Because they're able to make gases at a much more lower price.
It's mass produced.
What about the Chofetz Chaim? What kind of twill did they have?
He was in the time of dakas. I mean, Rashi describes how to make twill. Rashi tells you, take a box, a wooden box, make sure it's square, and take your skin and stretch it over it. And for the shel reish, you take that box, you cut it up into four separate pieces, and stretch it over the four things. And, you know, the next day after Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael sat down and became batim machas and seferim, and they made their own twillim. So I don't know how it looked compared to ours.
You look at the old, very old film, they very tall and they come narrow. It looks almost like a cut off curtain.
Yeah. We don't know what you see in Seamus. That was put to Seamus because it was abused, or it was because it wasn't good, or whatever it is. You have to see when you find a new pair of tefillin in Sheamus that nobody ever used, that was, you know, that was buried in some town or another because some volcano came down on top of it. Find a pair of tefillin in the closet over there, then you know that, you know, yeah. Okay.
What about the piece on the bottom? Someone's inserted piece, a miksha. Someone's a hider, have a miksha achas.
It's brought down nowhere. It's brought down nowhere. It's not a hider, but, you know.
They sell it.
The market demands it.
Yeah, so people make it. There's no hider whatsoever. This is what I'm telling you, what Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal held. But the batamachas make it, because the better batamachas make miksha. That's the way it is. The ones that are mass producing, you know, 250, 500, 800 pairs a month are not spending time making the miksha. The ones that are making 15, 20 pairs a month, they'll spend the time to make the miksha.
What about, do the parshas have to be all the way on top, or could the parshas
be? Very good, very good. So that's a machlekes. Where does the bias end? Here's the bias. Does the bias end over here, or does the bias continue down here, and the titura is covering the bias? So the Shlach HaKadosh paskins that the bias only comes down to here and does not extend down here. So based on the Shlach HaKadosh, then if you have a shalyad, that's why you see some people's shalyads are taller, because they want the shalyad paschal to be kulosei habayis, we call it. Shalresh is anyway, it's only written on four lines, so it usually fits. The shalyad not. Rabbi Avadia Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, paskin for the Svarta that it has to be kulosei habayis. So and also Rav David Feinstein, I think Rav Reuven Feinstein also a makbid on it.
That most people don't have that.
Nowadays people are getting it. It's becoming
smaller.
Yeah, they don't write smaller. They're not going to write smaller than 32, 33. Just decipher them, won't do it. Okay, should we pass around things, or should I show the computer? How much time?
Pass them a few minutes.
Okay.
Computer set up.
But it doesn't work with the thing. It doesn't check.
And can you fix this by putting another piece of that?
It's heavy. Why is it heavy? Because
it has the metals inside.
I can't get them out.
This one's I can't.
You can't get out.
This one's I could. But this one has that
metal. This one was cut the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, not the old-fashioned way. Most everything is done. It's
still like that.
Yeah.
I know.
And what about the shins? There are like five different versions of shins?
Yeah. Beisese, Merizal, Velish, Chabad, Belf.
So
and then everyone a different size.
So they have...
You have to have a different mold for each one.
Yeah. Okay, so go ahead.
You wear the film like this, the fashions are allowed.
And the frame inside is wood or it's made from ore?
It's ore. I show you.
The frame is made out of
wood? Yeah, this
wood?
No, it's take a look at the layers.
Yeah, but the original.
No, that's a, I use a metal. When I show the
metal. Look it out.
Yeah.
I just want
to
see this.
I'm scared to pass them out because it has to
feel very heavy.
It's
heavy.
I don't feel my tongue is that heavy. So there's a lot more thing. And this has the metals inside. That's
all the metals are in there.
That's true.
This one doesn't have metal.
No,
they took it out already.
Yeah, but this one also feels a little heavy.
Because there's a lot of extra pieces on
there. Yeah.
Okay.
This is cool.
I can't believe they ship bull's heads frozen. From
what do you think it's full of?
So the computer does not know how to read letters. It knows it compares the glob of ink to what the pixels are in his brains. So the computer goes ahead and counts up over here. It says milim. The math over here, I should have 133, only have 132. So I got a minus 1. ICS, the amount of letters, I should have 504, only have 500. So I got a minus 4. So I press a button and it sends me to this location. So I take a look. It says, Zohar, that's fine. S is fine. But the next word should be Hayoim. And it says Hazer. So the computer was right. The computer says over here in the corner in small print, Sadik Eis Chasera. I think something's missing. But I'm not sure. You have to verify it. So you take a look. You see it's missing the word Hazer. Okay, let's go further.
Come inside and look.
Okay. Here we get the Hoy Kiviyach, the second passion. Again, I'm missing minus 1 and minus 4. Okay, let's take a look what the problem is. He tends to be over here. Kishalcha, Bincha, Machar. That's fine. What should be the next word?
Lamer.
And what did I have? This map. In other words, he skipped the word map. So that's what the computer picked up. Again, minus 1, minus 4. And the computer tells me over here. Safik is chasera. I think something's missing. I'm not sure. Okay, let's go weiter. Here we get to only missing one letter. This minus 1. Okay. This was my chavrusa. Wore this for 20 years. So the same Vishinata, what's wrong in Levonecha?
Looks like a lamed.
No, he's missing a yud. Because this was checked 8 times, and nobody ever picked up that he was missing the yud. Okay, let's go further. Okay, Goyim Shemaya, at minus 3. Okay, El Mitzvah Isai.
Asher
is missing. Okay. Okay, now this one is different. This one, I got a plus 1 and a plus 2. I have one extra word with 2 letters. So let's take a look. And it says, Vishomarta S Hachukah Hazois. So this parasha is possible, but you can fix it because you can take out one of the word S, and then you have Vishomarta S, a blank space, and Hachukah. Now it'll be good. You can't add to it. But what the Sefer did was different. He took ahead and he went ahead and erased this Tav. And he raised this Aleph. Now I have the word b'shamar, a blank space, and then a tav. And he went ahead and he extended the resh. And the resh and a dal are the two letters you can extend. If you extend a vav, you have a resh. If you extend an end of chaf, you have a big resh. If you extend a tav, you'll have a shin atzur. It's going to look different. This is the two letters in the aleph base you can extend is the resh and the dal. So it worked out fine over here. They took out the tav and the aleph, and you had the shamar, the one long resh.
Excuse me, you're talking about the tefillin, or you're talking about,
because it's tefillin? Yeah, the tefillin. So this you're allowed to do.
You're allowed to extend.
Let's say if he wasn't writing carefully, and he left too big of a space between the let's say the kuf and the hay, so you can extend the hay a little bit back further, and the kuf a little bit further, and make it look like one word. That you can do. In other words, the same, you can write a whole parasha with every letter there, and it's possible, because the lettering, the spacing isn't good. But you can fix it. So this was fixable because all I did was extend a resh without changing anything else. Let's go further. Okay, here I got only minus one letter. Let's see what it is. Al mezuzais. He's missing the vav of mezuzais. Here we have plenty of room for it. Okay, let's go to the next one. And here I got a perfect score. In other words, all the letters are there, but it doesn't mean the right letters are there.
So the numbers are correct.
The numbers are correct. The computer knows where every single aleph is supposed to be. You know, there's supposed to be an aleph here, supposed to be an aleph here, an aleph here.
But can it match the letters by shape?
No, not yet, because every sefer writes differently, and sometimes the scan doesn't come out so perfect, whatever it is. So the computer knows where all the letters should be. So when I press this button, he brings me all the alephs. He wrote, instead of writing Hoya in, he wrote Hoya bim. Mm-hmm. So then when I press this button, I'm going to see a base over here. Because he knows where everything should be. So let's go a little bit further. Oh, look what happened. I press here, and I got a pain in the shin with my bases. So let's see what the story is. So he wrote, Ula avdai b'chol nafshechem. And he should have written Levavchem. Levavchem has five letters, and Nafshechem has five letters. Mm-hmm. So it passed the letter test, but it didn't pass the words test. So he's bringing me this base. And this base, he didn't write a base, he wrote a pay. And this base, he didn't write a base, he wrote a shin. So that's why I have all of a sudden over here, pay and a shin, because he's showing me what's wrong. And if I continue further, as I get to the lamed, I'm going to have a nun over there. I put a break in it, so you can't just press the button. You have to wait till you have the green light. They want you to do it, the job right. See, so over here, instead of having a lamed, over here, I have a nun.
So now you do your own scanning?
Again.
And you use the application?
An application, I use the program.
Yeah. You have to go through this step every time you check the paratfilin?
Every trillion. You first go through that, make sure there's the right amount of letters and words, and then you have to go through the aleph base. Aleph base takes a long time. When you check a computer, check a Sefer Torah, it's about 3 hours to scan the Sefer Torah. It depends on how good the scan is. It may take another half hour, so 3 hours to get the aleph bases all to line up properly.
So someone has a special scanner for Sefer Torah?
I have a big scanner, a 17-inch scanner.
And you have a mechanism that turns it and scans
it?
Not turns it,
I turn it by hand. I have rollers.
So you got to turn page?
Yeah, you turn page and then scan it.
Photograph
the
next
page, make sure it's lined up and scan it. That's what it takes 3 hours.
And you have to check every single letter?
And you go through every single thing.
And how many aleph are there in the whole Sefer Torah?
Well, that aspect, they become much better. I said it brings you all the alephs. It's bringing you all the alephs that it bothers the computer. Okay? So, you know, if it's a very well-written parasha, it'll only bring me five alephs. If it's a poorly written parasha, I'm going to have alephs galore. You know, then you have to check through every single one. Okay, that's the type of computer checking.
Is only one
competition?
This
Vadishmir Stam? No, there are two competitions. There's Makom Beis Yosef, which is Lankri, and he was the one that was the first one, and now there's something called Tar.
So which one is better?
I use Lankri, so I think it's better.
Is it done over the internet? Like when you scan
it
locally on your
computer?
When you process it, it's processed.
Yeah,
they used to tell us that it was sent over the internet,
two complications. So they're three altogether.
It's three, yeah.
Yeah, but what about the quality of the letters? In other words, the numbers issued.
Yeah, so that's what shows up.
From a bull's head.
The program works their own way.
Bull's head.
Which one's the best route? Program?
I'm happy with length. I've been using it now for 15, 16 years. Yeah. And I think it's a very good.
It all comes from this.
See, the blank is, I pay the user to so he updates me whenever I
have to
install or whatever.
Well, this is where this is all comes from. That comes from this. Bull's head.
Sorry, you have to buy that.
See, I don't know. I saw that it was just a small copy. It was only the head.
We're probably targeting it.
Nobody else uses it.
Yeah.
The
problem
that yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But that has to be manually checked. Like sometimes I'll be checking if the thing I'll see an envelope is not connected.
I'll
take a look. I'll see if it's not connected. I'll flag it. But I won't flag it based on what I scan it.
But the computer will show you the envelope is not connected?
But it could be the scan.
Would a scan contrast pick
the but you got to refine the olive. Don't you have to then refine the olive, which is wrong?
Everything has to be manually checked.
You have to go through the whole thing.
It's only
thing.
Good for Hasair and Hasair.
Yes.
Yes.
I'd have to eat that
change
as good.
When
you looked at the film
200 years ago,
And it was checked.
That's the way it was. But isn't there a thing that once you check it, you have to check the rest of it?
I would think so. I mean, well, before 200
years. He gave it in to check because of another thing he was worried about. The bias and the word base.
Once you check it, you have to check it. The bias
is the problem.
If you find it's good, then someone tells you good.
Back to 1700s. I don't think everybody had a
periscope. So I've heard a case of the word Savant not in the Christopher stepping up.
So let's say called up my son, he says about your arm wriggles.
That's one of the
computer.
Sure.
Look at that.
That's
what it should say.
No, this is what it should say. This is what it actually is.
Where did you get this script from? It says it's a computer. But the
also
failure is that somebody
okay is filming. Exactly. Look at it.
So if you have a site that you load over the whole couple of words, computer can pick up the lower words on them and be awesome.
He writes it
for $1 and he has
$1.
Can you take that through? He's writing.
And he makes a mistake.
And he makes a mistake
and he stops writing and he erases
the whole line.
And
then he writes it again.
He does a good job. He wants to show it. There was a lamin going up to here, and you could see it right away that you
dial. In other words, you could feel.
You, when you check, you go through every single letter. So all the letters, and then it shows.
Wow. The photocopy is flat. You could feel.
The other software works like this in the competition. They were like this.
I don't know.
So you get it. Whenever you have
the whenever you're ready to swell, I go into him.
I'll give you new software.
No, he just gives me my laptop. That's what he has to do.
That's why I sleep at night.
I don't have to do that.
He's making people laugh.
First of all, if you try to do it, I'm going to say,
oh, as you get in, it's like you're not a fan. Okay, can I even make a say about the coming to the front?
Kind of.
I mean, not just the actor, player of the actor.
I'm not a man.